This has been one real week of battling the devil. Many things that could go right went wrong. And for some reason, Satan just wants you to give up and give in and not allow God to do his work through you. My prayer today is that you listen to the word of God. You don't see the man, because I am nothing. He is everything. On your bulletin there, it said, the most important meal of the day. That does go along with the theme, the most important time of the day. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, it says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you. And he let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which he did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It took me a Bible college education and a few years in the ministry before I realized why I was created and why I was here. When God created Adam, he created him to meet with him daily and to fellowship with him in the garden. Every single evening, the Lord would be there, and he would say, Adam, let's talk. Let's fellowship. Adam, I want to give you the joy of my very presence. It took me a while to realize that it's not what I read about God, or I hear about God, or I sing about God, that is the most important thing. What I hear from God himself to me personally is what is the most important time of the day. That I might know him as he knows me. That I might love him and understand as he loves me. The devil could care less about your ministries, your jobs, and everything else. There's one thing that he wants to get at, and that is when you and God have communion together. Because if he can get at that time, you as a Christian do not have the ministry you should have. You do not have and do the job right like you should. You are not the husband, the wife, the son, the daughter that you need to be, because you don't know how to be it. You haven't had the fellowship with God himself to learn everything that's behind it. The devil is after that time. That vital, important time. And he has been after mine all week long. A quiet time is not your time to study, but that time that you meet with Christ in the Word. Christ quotes Deuteronomy here in Matthew 4:4. And you notice it is a spoken word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. He loved us so much that if there would have been one of us, he would have still sent his son to die. How important are you to God? You're more than a lump of coal or a piece of dust. You are an eternal being that God has chosen to share and have communion with. How awesome is our God? As I've put there in bold letters for you, the quiet time is a living encounter with the living Word in the written Word. It's something that is alive. It's not a stimulant of the mind. It's not a stimulant of the body. It is a communication of a living organism with a living organism, the eternal organism, God, dealing with His creation that He loves. A living encounter with a living Word. You see, the devil will only attack the live Christians. He leaves the dead ones alone. I remember one time a missionary friend of mine said, "You're so dry as a Christian that the only thing that you are good for is to be martyred at the stake." Well, hopefully we do not have a bunch of martyrs here. We do not need a bonfire. What we need to be is on fire for God. And as the Lord is talking to us, I want to deal with you with three things here. The requirements, or the reasons, excuse me, for our quiet time. The requirements for our quiet time. And the regulations during our quiet time. The reasons for a quiet time is simply, why do I need to have a quiet time? Well, it's for your spiritual constitution. Now, this is an old term to a lot of you. It was an old term to me when I was young, so you know it's a really old term. This is dealing with your growth. Your growth. Every Christian cries for the milk of the Word, but meat is for the mature. We see, I was seeing here a lady walking around, and she obviously has a life living within her that she will bring forth. And we have others that the Lord is bringing forth new life into this world through. And I can remember when that first one of mine was born, and I had her placed in my arms and had those, like every man has, that's two huge opposite feelings. One, the joy, oh man, this is mine, and the fear, I'm the one that's got a razor. Complete extremes. And then see that baby mouth start moving around, and all of a sudden, they give it something to drink. From the time it's born, it needs to be fed. And we take that little baby, and we put a bottle in its mouth and let it grow. But you know what is so awful? If we are still taking that 25-year-old baby and putting a bottle in its mouth to feed it. My fellow brethren and Christian, some of you are still on the bottle. You are to mature and to grow. You are to be eating the meat of the Word in that full fellowship with God. We don't need to go back to when we came to know the Lord, though the memory is there and the thrill is there. God wants to feed you and give you of Himself in the thrill and the presence of Himself each and every single day. That you might sit there and know that He is God. Every Christian cries for the milk. But Christian, I hope that you want the meat of the Word of God. The meat. The next thing for spiritual cleansing. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ through the word of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, it says that we might use the word for what? Correction in righteousness. It tells us in 1 John 1:9 to pray for cleansing. How shall a young man, that's a little later on, but how shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. We had a study a little bit ago, and Pastor Chris was mentioning about when the priest would go in to give the sacrifice in the Holy of Holies. Before he went into the Holy of Holies, he had to take a bath. There was a laver there. The laver is nothing but a bathtub. And the priest had to be cleansed to go into the presence of God. How many times you just jump in the gut, God, this has gone wrong, that's gone wrong, rather than saying, Lord, I have sinned against you. I am filthy with the stains of sin, and I need to be cleansed. I need that cleaning, that internal cleaning, to get my prides and my lust and all that would be against you out of me, that you might come into me and fill me. For spiritual counsel, this is just guidance in our life. We're walking on a dark, treaded path on this earth. I used to think when I was younger, boy, my life is planned out just like this. Let me tell you how my life is planned out. I'm in Montana, grown up in Southern California, and I swore there is no way I will ever live in Southern California. There is no way that if I came to California, I was a woodsman, I was a hunter, I was a fisherman, I was going to be up north. And never in the Los Angeles area. I mean, to me, that would be like going to hell, and I have arrived. And I have been so blessed. I have found my son-in-laws and my daughter-in-law here. I have found much in family, but I have found the greater Christian family. The brothers that I have here are so precious to me. We pray together, we cry together, we work together. But I have seen tremendous men of God here and women of God. And I have been fortunate to be married to one of those. I need that guidance and counsel even now. I do not, when my son-in-law stands up here and preach, say, oh yeah, my son-in-law is a great preacher. Let me tell you, there's some things he says up here that cut right to my heart when I'm listening. I forget who he is, and God uses him as the channel to help guide and speak to me, as many of the men here. We thrill in our men's Bible study on Wednesday night through the Word and through each other as we get guidance and help and support from each one of us to the other. For spiritual conflict, we are at war. I'm not talking about Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm not talking about your home right after or just before you came to church. You ever notice that sometimes the worst time of the day or the worst time of the week is Sunday morning when you're trying to get to church? Especially if you have to teach or preach or do something, you got these conflicts going on to keep it from happening. You are at war, a spiritual war. And Ephesians tells us about the type of equipment we need to fight that war. And the thing that I noticed about all that equipment for the head and the breastplate and the loins girt and the feet shod of the preparation of the gospel, that there's nothing to protect the back. The spiritual war is one of no retreat. You cannot retreat. You are not protected. The spiritual war is one that has to continually march forward. The old hymn used to say, "Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." You see, the thing about our war is, it's already won. Because we are in Christ. We have already conquered sin and death through Him. And we can conquer life through Him now. The spiritual conflict that we have is ongoing. You know, thinking back just a little bit about conflicts and things and the washing and cleansing, I think of Peter. The Lord wanted to wash the disciples' feet. We all know the story. And Peter said, "Lord, you can't wash mine. I'm not worthy." And the Lord said, "Peter, either I wash your feet or you don't have any part of me." And Peter says, "Oh, not my feet, but my head also." And that always gave a picture of me of who Peter was all the time. Peter was always having his foot in his mouth. So when he was asking for cleansing of his feet and his head, he was trying to quit putting his foot in his mouth, messing things up. He wanted to be a man of God. We have where he brought forth great things about Christ, who he was. You're the Christ, the Son of God. And then he turns right around and with oaths and swearings denies him. But God used him mightily. Next, spiritual communion. Deep, deep, deep fellowship is only found in the Word of God between you and God. We can have tremendous times here in church. And we do. That's why we meet. The Bible tells us to meet. But every one of you Christians know that the greatest thrills and the greatest times you've ever had with God or should have had with God is you and God. That you're not just hearing about God, but you are enjoying the full presence of God. Jesus said, "If you are thirsty, come to me and drink." How are we to drink? Many of you come and we do our little sip, you know. We have our tea like the ladies, and that's great, ladies. I don't know how to do that. Don't know how to hold my pinky out here, but you gals have a tremendous ministry through that, and I want you to keep it up, and I am 100% behind it. But me, just give me a big old mug and let me drink. How many of you are just sipping at the joy that God has for you? I got just a, that's good for today. Jesus wants you to drink and drink so much and drink so deep that out of your innermost beings, what? Flow rivers of living water. When you are in constant and full fellowship with the Lord Himself, you're going to get everyone around you wet. God wants you to douse everyone. Just like when I have my grandkids over at the pool there in our condo, they jump in there to splash Grandpa for all they can. God wants us to get everyone around us wet with the joy of the Lord. Oh, yeah, I got joy. Oh, but this arthritis is terrible. You know, I got joy. Oh, the bank is really bad. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not might be, not could be, but it is. God is a positive God, not a negative God. He says, if you come and drink, I will what? Fill you so full of myself that everyone around you will know it. Oh, my friends, I used to, when I was in the ministry there in Montana, we had, as you mentioned in the bulletin, I was kind of a circuit riding preacher. I would hit youth groups and Bible studies every night after work. And I had so many of them, I had to hit them every other week. Then on Sundays, I used to hit up the four church services on a Sunday. And we would go into our summer ministries and have Bible camps and vacation Bible school and camps and stuff in all these tiny little towns around Montana and Idaho. And after Labor Day, I took 3 days the following weekend to myself. I told you I loved the mountains. I would throw my backpack on, and I would hike 15 miles back in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness to be alone with God, taking my New Testament and a notebook and just spending time with Him. Those are some of the greatest times in my life. When it was me and God in God's place, God's cathedral. And I came back all charged up and ready to go back into the fall ministries again. To drive the roads, to study the Word, to have the youth groups and Bible studies. Is your Christian life kind of dull lately? How much time do you actually give God in the Word? Well, we know why we should have it. What are the requirements in having it? First thing, you must have a Bible. A Bible, did you know the Bible is the number one selling book? Everyone knows that. Did you know that it's also the number one most stolen book in the world? To me, that's a good thing. Maybe if a guy steals it, he might read it. But you need a Bible and one that you can read and one preferably without too many notes. The reason being simply is you get to rely on the notes. Now, this is not Bible study, okay? This is time with God. And there is a difference. Bible study is to gain knowledge. Your quiet time is to build the relationship. That I might be close to Him. That I might know Him. Have a prayer list. I was really shook up for a week or so here because I couldn't find my prayer list. And last Wednesday, I walked into our men's Bible study, and that's where I had left it. I was so thrilled when Bill handed it to me. He said, "You're missing something?" I said, "Oh, you bet I am." Have a prayer list. Our men's Bible study have been praying for things. We have seen souls come to know Jesus Christ this year. We have been seeing bodies healed. We have seen miracles where people are ready to die and insurance companies are throwing them to the dogs to where it ends up on television and everything gets paid for. We have seen broken marriages mended. We have seen broken lives come together. We had a visitor to our Bible study one night and he says, "Hey, we spend too much time in prayer. Let's just put that on the end. We're here for Bible study." And boy, I was immediately, "No way." And then every other man in there. Phew. Because we have seen God at work through prayer. God is there. Make sure that you have that list for praying. Now I gave you a simple thing there that you can use. Monday missionaries. How many missionaries we got here? We got several missionaries here. And one of them is so dear to me, Vincent. I just love that man to death because all I see is God living in him and through him to take and start a school with six kids. And he's got 740 students there now in Nigeria that could be the leadership of that country. Missionaries. Thanksgiving. The biggest gripe that God had against Israel is they weren't thankful. Let me tell you, God has given me such a blessed life. I say a perfect life? No. He's given me such a blessed life that if he were to take me at this very moment, my words would be, thank you so much for what you have given me to enjoy and be in this world. Thank you, Lord. Wednesday workers, and of course we're referring to Christian workers there, the pastoring staff, the music, the Sunday school, all the children's work, youth groups, all the Bible studies, all these leaders, do you pray for them? Or do you think about them just when you show up at a Bible study or to Awana or something like that? These are awesome ministries of God through men of God that need to be held up constantly before the throne of God. I remember back in 1981 in January, I got the news that my mother had died. Suddenly from a heart attack. She stood up, dropped over dead. And my first thought was, who is going to pray for me now? My mom was such a prayer warrior, constantly in prayer. But then the Lord opened up my eyes. He gave me the world's greatest prayer warrior. I married her. Constantly, hon, she keeps coming up, hon, I pray so hard about this, I prayed so hard about that. Pray for the workers, that the work will go on. Pray for the tasks that have to be done. You think about being a young mother and changing diapers. Oh, I need to pray about this. Yes, you do. That the Lord not only gives you strength, but gives you the joy and the realization that you're taking that little bundle. And that's going to be a man or woman of God someday. And you have the major part in that child's life. All the tasks that you do. And don't be like I have been on several occasions. Don't go looking at those tasks with such dread. But rather, it's a joy to be able to do something. Pray for the tasks that you have to do. Pray for family. You come into my classroom at school where I teach, and you will find calendars of my grandkids. Anyone that walks in there knows that I am a family man. That I love my whole family. And God has blessed me dearly that my family, in spite of knowing all of my faults and messing up in life, love me. Pray for your family. Saturday, pray for saints. That's all other Christians. Sunday, for sinners. Now, you will be praying for all these each and every day. Have a notebook and a pen when you are dealing with this. Time with God as much as you can give. Martin Luther used to say, I have so much to get done today that I dare not spend less than 3 or 4 hours in prayer. It doesn't get done right or quickly if God's not in it. Have a quiet place. Get alone with God. Jesus went to a lonely place. After feeding the multitudes, he got away so he could spend time with God. You say, oh, I am so busy, I just don't have the time. Well, I want to tell you about a lady, Susanna Wesley. Charles and John Wesley turned England upside down for God. Many hymns that we have in our book are by Charles Wesley. But they had a mom who had 14 kids. Now, how do you have a time with God and 14 kids? She simply did it this way. That was in the days the women always wore an apron. And when it was, she felt it was her time for God, she just took her apron and put it up over her face. And all the kids got settled down. The older ones took care of the younger ones. It was mom's time with God. If you got too many things on your calendar to spend time with God, take something off your calendar. Because you're missing the most important thing. A time with God Himself. Expectant spirit. Bring the whole body, soul, and spirit into subjection. The soul for cleansing. You see, Psalms tells us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, in other words, if I am dwelling and thinking on sin, God will not hear me. I need that cleansed. I cannot have unforgiveness in my heart. Christ told us in Matthew there, we're working in mathology in Sunday school class, that we cannot be unforgiving to our Christian brother. If you're unforgiving to your Christian brother, you will not have the full fellowship of God in your life, and you will be missing things. Now, you don't have to put up with all their silly ideas, okay? But forgive them. And then spirit, as you obey God, He reveals Himself. Thirdly, the regulations. Know who you are dealing with. First thing is waiting. Be still and know that I am God. When you go into His presence, you say, "Here I am, Lord. Speak. I'm listening." Let God speak to you. You get so anxious to speak to God that you forget God wants to talk to you. I remember a record. Now, you guys, a lot of you don't know what a record is, but we had records back in my day. And there was a record out, and it was of a teenager talking to God on the Lord's Prayer. And it starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven." And the voice had come on, "Yes, Bill. Don't bother me. I'm praying. Hallowed be thy name." "Thank you, Bill." "Don't bother me. I'm praying." You see, we get so much time doing something that we don't listen to God Himself. That still, small voice that God wants to talk to you each and every day. He's not going to come at you like thunder. He's going to take and whisper beautiful things about Himself and His glory and His kingdom in your ear. Reading, come to the book systematically and intelligently. Christians do not live dumbly or by blind faith. When you come to the Lord, you cannot look at creation and say, "That is an accident." You are not an evolutionist that says, "I'm an accident between accidents." You're not an accident. You have a planning, eternal God that planned for you to be here and to know Him, and to be with whom you're with today. The plan of God. Rightly, use the Bible, not just the helps, because the helps can guide you away from the things of God. Read no more than one chapter at a time, but read it at least three times. And it will continue to penetrate, and the Lord will take that passage and He will narrow what He has for you in it as you read it again and again. Meditating. That's simply, "God, what are you saying to me?" He says, "I have promises here for you to claim. I have experiences in the Christian life for you to enjoy." and there are some sins in your life that were going to start shunning. I'm going to deal with the whole person. I have written in my Bible a quote that I have there for you. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's written in the front of every Bible I've ever owned. If you are sinning, one of the first things you're going to shun is opening this up and letting God speak to you. That's why I like Awana so much. What are they doing? They're taking the Word of God and putting it in these young hearts and these young minds so that we can be like the psalmist, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." Rightly dividing the word of truth, not sinning. Recording, impressions must have an expression. Write down what God has for you on one or more pages. When I would have my times with God, many times I got my thoughts from my sermons right out of that time I had with God. Praying. Now, we talked about this. You get to talk in the most personal way to the living God. Don't ever forget that He is God, but you get to approach Him as Daddy, Father. He made it so personal that you can call Him Daddy. The God of the universe, the Creator, and I am just the creation, and He says, I can call Him Daddy. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Then sharing. When God talks to you and shares special things with you, share them with someone else. I can remember I would be on the highest mountain there in Montana. I would be looking out over all this beautiful thing. And my whole thought was, oh, I wish Millie were with me. I wish Millie were with me. And when something good happens to me, I get an award or something, I immediately call her up and share it with her. Because she is the greatest person on this earth that I know. And I want to share every good thing, and I do share even the bad things with her. Because it's our life. Share it. Do you share what God says to you? Many want to share their knowledge of Scripture. And they will sit there and tell you exactly everything you are doing wrong in quote, and quote, and quote. And their intent is not really to build you up, but to tear you down. That is ungodly. Knowledge puffeth up. You see, when Spirit McShane says, no amount of work done for the King can replace neglect of the King for Himself. I may know Scripture back and forth. Now, I'm not knocking learning Scripture or studying the Bible. What I am knocking is it was doing that and never get into the fact of the relationship with God, where this knowledge in Scripture becomes used by God through us. It's used by us to hurt and to harm. The devil can quote Scripture, all of it. But God reaches out, and He says, I'm going to put a nature in you. I'm going to reach out of love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance. If you've been talking with God and God's talking and working in you, this is what you are going to hear. We don't have to tell the world they're going to hell. They know it. What they need to know is, what is the light out of this tunnel? Where is the light on this path going? And that light only shines bright and clear and sincere when we have been in a meeting with God ourselves that we, what? Our light shines so strong that they see our good works, that they see that they're of God and not of ourselves, and they glorify Him. Obey. The evidence is in your Christian life. As I was growing up, I had a mentor, and it's kind of hard to believe. When he was mentoring me, I thought he was old. He was 62 years old. I thought he was an old guy. He died at 62 through leukemia, but a tremendous man of God. And one of his sayings was, "You are the kind of Christian you want to be." And I thought that was wrong because I want to be better. And when I got to thinking on it, no. I continue to keep myself from being the all-out Christian because I'm afraid to go there. I'm extremely fearful to be there because that would mean that God would have total control. I don't have any say anymore. You are the kind of Christian that you want to be. My grandmother had tremendous thoughts all the way when I was growing up. One of the things that she told me, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. If you are in that full fellowship with God, it will come up and be seen and be evident in your life. Do you really love these people that are here? Or do you want to find every little fault and thing wrong? Every one of us have faults. You guys can tear me apart all you want. But I want you to understand something. That God loves you, and if I stay in my relationship like I'm supposed to be with God, He will love you through me. Is God loving everyone else through you? Do you see that teenager doing quite something you don't like, and the first thing you do is you condemn him? Or do you go over there and talk to them and visit with them and let them see what the reality is supposed to be? You want to tell everybody what's wrong, let's start showing them what is right with God. Holiness is sheer delight in doing the will of God.